We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and the first subject we're going to discuss tonight is patience. Patience. It says in the story of the Torah of Shechem, when Shechem abducted Dinah, the sons of Yaakov tricked him. He said, if you want to make a pact with us, everyone has to circumcise. What does the next pasuk say? The lad didn't detain. Right away he ran out. He said, everyone, it's a great idea. Come, we'll become one with them. Everyone circumcises, and now the sons of Yaakov come in, and two little kids can wipe out a whole city. Part of what we try to accomplish as we mature, as we age, is patience. Not to be quick to react, not to be quick to decide, to pay attention to what's going on. And when we finally do react, it should be the right reaction. Even if you take time, you don't necessarily get it right. Reuven had great intentions. He was fighting for his mother's honor. And yet the pasuk says, "Pachas kamaim al tota." He was quick, like a flowing stream. He went with what he thought was right, and he lost. He lost so much. Kohen Gadol should have been from his family. Royalty should have been from his family. The double portion should have been in his family. He lost it all. But he was rushing to do what's right. Easy. Even when you're doing what's right, you shouldn't rush. Got to think things through. We learned last week the Mishnah in Tractate Avot. Shiva Dvarim Bechacham. There are seven attributes to a wise person. V'shiva Dvarim Begolem. And seven things to a person who is unrefined, who's an unfinished product. Golem means you have a vessel that's not finished. That's a golem, not finished. So one of the attributes of the Chacham, he doesn't interrupt. He's going to listen till the end. We learned that. He's not quick to answer. And here we run into one of the harder elements of marriage. Imagine the following conversation. Binyamin, what are we going to eat for dinner tonight? What do you want? I'm not sure. I was thinking about pasta. I was thinking maybe we should have the leftover chillin from Shabbos. But then again, it's cold tonight. It might be good if I put up a soup. So what does the average guy do? The first thing he does is he starts thinking this conversation has to end. Whether you like it or not, this is what happens in the male mind. Your wife starts talking to you about details of things that you really do not want to discuss, and you lose patience. Now, this happens with many, many things. Yisrael, we're going out on a date tonight. What should I wear? So what does the average male want to answer? Clothing. They're all good, right?
This is me.
What?
This is me.
Right, yeah. You know, did I ask you if I should wear a white shirt or a white shirt? You know, it's okay. But your wife starts asking you. And if you're a good husband, then you're going to try to be patient and go, well, let's see, what are the choices? So your wife says, well, I have the blue skirt, but the sweater that matches that is a little bit tight. I have the brown skirt, but I get the feeling you don't really like it. I have the green skirt, but the shoes that match it aren't so comfortable. I'm really not sure. What do you think? You're like, oh boy, this was hard. I thought tomorrow was hard. What do you say? So you think to yourself two things. You think there's no right answer, and she knows better than I know, and I'm really not interested. You really do not want to have this conversation. Like, this is... And you're going to be wrong whatever you say, yeah. Right? That's if you have a little bit of experience.
I choose the green. Oh, so you want me that my feet go swirl up?
So you have experience too. So, rule number one is patience. Patience. See, we run into problems because we don't have patience. We want the conversation to end. But if we'd have patience, we might actually discover what she wants. Now, why is this a difficult conversation for us? Because if we were having this conversation, then it would be very simple. I'm not sure whether to wear my walking shoes or my classy shoes. My classy shoes, you'll feel like I went out on a date with you and I dressed up for you. My walking shoes, I'll be more comfortable. What should I do? Right? For a man, here are the variables. Here's what I'm not sure. Could you give me an answer? Now, when you tell her the question, she won't give you the answer you wanted either. She'll say, be comfortable, and later on you'll get to hear you didn't respect our date. So that's another problem. But leave that for a second. We put our variables on the table, and then we're ready to discuss. Women don't do that. Now, part of it is because women don't know it themselves. They don't know what they want. And they're not so, they don't have an easy way to express it. And that's why women will talk to one another for a half hour about what to make for dinner tonight until they finally discover what was bothering them, what they weren't sure about, and then they'll reach a conclusion. But then they want to partner up with us and talk to us for a half hour about what to make for dinner tonight. And for us, the best we can do is try to smile. I hear. Yeah, it's a tough question whether we should make the noodles. And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, what difference does it make? Is it really worth a half hour conversation? Do we really want to discuss this for a half hour? So the answer is yes, you do. And here I want to go to an allegory that they tell women when they get married. They tell women, think of your husband as a small child. Okay? Think of your husband as a small child, right? When your child brings home a painting from school, you say, that's beautiful. You get all excited over it. Every little thing your husband does, you have to know to say, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Kol hakavod to you. Now you guys are laughing, but every man wants that. You want your wife to say that. You stand there and watch how she admires your son's painting and you think, I just worked for 3 hours fixing her whatever. And I didn't even get such a reaction, right? You don't. But that's a rule they teach women sometimes. But we have to know how to do it to them. Let's leave your wife for a minute and talk about your 7-year-old daughter. If your 7-year-old daughter would come and have this conversation with you, if you were a decent parent, you'd listen and you'd try to talk to her about it if you had the time. And you'd have the patience. Really? You're thinking of making this and what, how are you going to, okay, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then maybe you'd get to a conclusion. But it would be cute. It would be funny to have a conversation with her. With your wife, it's not cute. It's a pain in the neck. Why is she talking to me about this? Why do we have to discuss for 20 minutes which earrings she's going to put on? But this is where we have to be a man. Marriage is about being able to connect on the other person's terms. Marriage, if I want to be a good spouse, that means I'm going to connect on their terms. Well, if their terms includes conversations that to me are pointless, then I have to be able to match their needs. That's my responsibility. Ah, but I don't have patience for this. Talk to me about something real. Talk to me about something important. Talk to me about something I'm interested in. This is boring. Right? Okay. I've seen terrible things over the years where a spouse had to go for a very scary exam and their partner was like, good luck. Give me good luck. Go with them. Jurassic Park came out and this man, his wife was giving birth and he said, I have tickets to Jurassic Park, good luck. Now if this story weren't true, then you'd say, okay, you made up a bad story, Rabbi. The problem is it's true. So you see things that you tell yourself, excuse me, that's not normal. we get married, we're supposed to be there for one another. So we understand that, right? To sit in the waiting room with the spouse, we understand that if there's a certain emotional turmoil, we should be there for them. So we have to realize that on a daily basis, women go through different emotional turmoils, and they want us to be there for them. And one of the greatest frustrations women have, you'll hear almost every wife will tell you, we never have time to talk. And the husband will say, I don't know what she's talking about. Every night we talk for hours, right? But there's a certain conversation she needs. And that conversation breaks up into two points. I'm going to tell you the second one if you'll remind me to talk about it next week. If you don't, then we'll get to it a different time. So the first one is when they want to talk to you about details, and they want to consult with you, and they want to think with you, and to us, this is not an exciting conversation. Now, let's take an example. You want to go out with your wife. So you ask your wife, where do you want to go out? So sometimes she'll say, surprise me. And sometimes she'll say, let's look together. And then you go online, and suddenly you discover there are 450 restaurants in Yerushalayim. And she wants to look through all of them. Now, if you're a classical male, after you saw two, you think you've seen variety, and you say, that looks good. And she goes, yeah, but let's see what else there is. And you're thinking, why? Right? I saw two, you want to see three? And then your wife will tell you the classical female line, I just want to see three, four more. Now, 40 restaurants later, she's going to go back to the second one you chose, right? She's going to say, that one looks really good, but let's see a few more. And you're thinking, why? Patience. 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 We have to be able to connect on the other person's terms. So that means if they want to discuss things with us, we have to be willing to discuss it. Very often, couples make major decisions in their life, and the wife feels like, I wasn't consulted. Now, I've seen this mistake so many times. People bought a house, and they had to decide. And so the husband explained to the wife why it was the right decision, and she basically said, okay. And then for the rest of their life, she kept saying, that's the house you forced me into. And he goes, what do you mean I forced you into it? We discussed it. She goes, no, we didn't. And he goes, what do you mean? I asked you if you agree before we did it, but we didn't discuss it. You explained your position and we did it. And the man is so frustrated. And there are major decisions in life that the wife feels like, you didn't talk to me about that. And the men don't understand, why does she say that? And the reason is because we men are impatient. We know how we like to have conversations, and when we don't understand what she wants from our life, when she's trying to find within herself how to explain why it's not so simple to her what you just presented, we feel like she has nothing to say, which isn't true. It just takes her time to go from her emotional, this doesn't feel right, to putting it into words and explaining what's wrong with it. And so what we men hear is, I gave you a good reason, and you don't have a good answer, why not? So we'll go with it, right? And the woman feels like, I don't have a good answer. Okay. But she also feels like her opinion wasn't expressed. So I gave examples of things that seem unimportant, but these things come up on things that are very important, where couples will have conversations and later on, the husband feels like he has to put up with something that's completely unfair, where the wife says, we didn't agree on that. And the husband says, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. We discussed it. You agreed. Why do you keep telling me that? And again, this is a scene I see over and over and over again on major decisions people make in their life. And the husbands walk around frustrated. Women aren't fair. Women aren't honest. Women aren't logical. People will say all kinds of lines. Women need patience. And very often the husband recognizes correctly that there's a deadline. And if we won't make the move, we will lose. And he's right. He's right. But he has to understand what's going on by his wife. What's going on by her is, you didn't have the patience, you didn't work out with me what I'm trying to say, and I don't know what I'm trying to say yet, and so you didn't hear me. If you didn't hear me, then you made a decision without me. Ah, the wife might not express it that way at the time of the conversation, but for years later, she will always tell him, you did not hear me, and we made these major decisions, and I was forced into it. And husbands go bonkers. They really feel it's unfair. But what's really going on is, we have to work on our patience. We have to be able to hear them, listen to them, and be with them in this process of thinking things through, even though to our minds, if you have something to say, why don't you just say it? And the answer is, I don't really know what I have to say yet. The woman needs time to work out what she's trying to say. She wants to work with someone to work out what her thoughts are. And this is where women need us to have patience. It is counterintuitive. It is hard for men. It is like standing and counting hands and counting them again and counting them again and counting them again. It's like, why would I care to do that? But that's what she needs. That's her form of conversation. So we have to recognize that if we want to connect really, and if we want them to feel satiated in conversations, then we have to have the patience to help them formulate their opinions, which is very hard. Again, it's very, very hard for men. And part of doing it, part of doing it is learning to listen and not define. Very often, when men listen, so they're quick to say, oh, so you mean that? Maybe, maybe not. Listen, let her work with you to reaching that conclusion. Did you mean to say that this is really what's important to you? So we have to work on our patience. We have to remember that connecting is connecting on the other person's terms, and their terms are different than ours. They require a lot of patience and time and conversation to help them formulate their opinions. You might say, I can't spend 3 hours before each date deciding where we go. That's another question. But on major decisions, for sure we owe it to ourselves and them to work things out. On other decisions, we have to think a little bit about what's right. How much do we owe them? And the truth is, we owe them a lot. It's a question of developing a habit and learning to have these conversations.